Well, good morning. Welcome to First EC. Glad to have you all here to join in worship of the Lord. Before we get started, and before I even give any of the announcements from the bulletin, I'm going to ask you to give your attention to Bob Klazak, our lay delegate. He's going to give a report on the national conference that we attended two weeks ago. So,
blessings and warm greetings from the 22nd National Conference of the Evangelical Congregational Church. Pastor Jeff and I attended with more than 200 of our brothers and sisters in Christ. This report is informational, but also a call to action for all of us. We're often reminded at conference of our vision statement, which partially says that the Evangelical Congregational Church will be a dynamic movement of God led by pastors and laity who have a burning passion for God and a missionary zeal for the lost. The theme for this year's conference was mindful leadership. Our vision of a dynamic movement requires pastors and church leaders, and really all of us, to be healthy spiritually, emotionally, and physically in order to be effective in ministry. We must be aware of any unhealthy areas of ourselves and how that can impact our abilities to help others. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your souls are getting along." Healthy, mindful leaders understand that when we allow God to work through us today, He is also preparing us for what He wants us to do tomorrow. In our equipping session at conference, we were challenged to identify ruling passions within ourselves that can potentially inhibit our ministry. An example of a ruling passion that some may have is our need for control in our lives. We can't fully serve God and have a strong commitment to be in control because God is sovereign and He is in control. We must accept situations where we feel out of control and put our trust in God. Ruling passions can sabotage our relationships, our marriages, careers, and ministry. Self-reflection is needed by all of us to prevent these and to ensure that God is fully the Lord of our lives. Our global ministries community welcomed leaders from churches in Mexico and Japan and missionaries serving in Spain. It was a blessing to see their love of the Lord and passion for doing His will despite language barriers. Our worship and communion services were vibrant and joyful and Holy Spirit led. Our denomination is very sound financially and organizationally. Our leadership team of the various commissions and other groups is excellent, led by Bishop Randy Sizemore. Regarding our vision, we can enhance our zeal for reaching the lost by reflecting upon their fate if no one shares the good news with them. Our church has various outreach initiatives, including providing meals internally and externally, clothing drives, prayer walks, short-term missions, visitations, and so on. I encourage you to also share the good news as you minister to others in these outreach efforts. We can change the world one person at a time. Blessings to you as we seek to follow God's will collectively.
Thank you, Bob. I'll invite the praise band to come on up, let them get settled as I share some of the other announcements that we have here. I want to make sure that we know, remember those for those that it apply, to whom it applies. The ministry council meeting has been changed. It's now Monday, June 16th at 6 p.m. So I want to make sure that you're aware of that. And I highlighted in my bulletin, notice too that there's an invitation. You'll remember the Stevensons, I'm sure, very fondly. And Aria has graduated, and they're inviting you to a celebration down in Myerstown. But I also wanted to point out that we'll be recognizing graduates at a couple different levels on June 29th during the worship service. So look forward to that, and I hope you can make sure that you're here so that you can recognize them as well and help them to celebrate their achievements. Any other announcements? Well, and let me make one other announcement very quickly. It's also going to be a prayer request later. As you've heard us talk about the fact that Bill Disbrow, you probably know that he is going to be moving. He's going to be moving out of the area. We'll miss him in so many different ways, but one of the big areas of concern, if you want to say that, is that we need somebody to help replace him when we have the table each month. So if there's somebody who might consider helping out with prepping the meals, if you're able to open cans of vegetables, if you're able to start a pot of boiling water, if you're able to do those things that I know even us guys can do, then we need your help. We'd love to have your help to help out with prepping meals for the table. So maybe you've thought about it. Maybe the Lord's tapping on your shoulder. We're going to pray when we have our prayer request. That's one of the things I'm going to pray for. That I think God already knows which one of you or how many of you. There might be more than one that he might be tapping on the shoulder. But we just pray that we'll notice that tap and we'll respond to it. So any other announcements? Anything else on the schedule that we want to make sure everybody knows about? Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. No reports are needed for this council meeting that's coming up on June 16th. Thank you. Yeah. Any other announcements? Okay. Well, then let's prepare for worship. I'll ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, whatever it is that you need to do to make yourself focus on God. Father, we gather this morning as your church, as your one body, part of your one body, the church in general being your body. We pray that as we come together here that our focus would be on you, that you would help us to just put all the distractions behind us, keep them outside the doors for the moment, because we are here because you are worthy of our praise, all of the singing that we do, all of the praying that we do, all of the listening that we do. Help us to make sure our focus is entirely on you. We give you all the praise and glory, God, and we just ask your Holy Spirit to be active among us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask you to stand if you're able as I read our call to worship. I'm reading from Psalm 47, and the psalmist writes, "Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy, for the Lord Most High is awesome, the great king over all the earth. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets." So sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our king. Sing praises. One of the phrases that keeps being repeated in there is about shouts of joy, cries of joy. Not only do we leave all of our distractions, but as part of that, we leave all of those things out there that challenge our joy. When we're here this morning, we're praising God and we're recognizing how full of joy we are because of him. And so let's sing praises to God, sing praises to our King.
rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts. Who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love? Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. You burn the truth in our lips. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and
it's higher than the mountains at our face, stronger than the power of the grave, a constant in the trial and the change. One thing remains, yes, one thing remains. Your love
never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me.
Your love never fails and never gives up.
Take a moment to greet your neighbors. Keep going, it's okay. Well, let's build each other up by sharing a couple of praises. What kind of praises do you have from this past week? Or what kind of praises do you have this morning? Go. Okay.
So as some of you may know, Pomaya's graduation is coming up this week, so... Ben and I are officially done with school. He just went to the bathroom, so I feel like he doesn't get embarrassed. So I'm speaking on behalf of him and I and Emma. We are definitely ready for graduation for our next chapter of our lives. So we thank for this grateful church and how we grew up in this church. So we thank you very much.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. And Jeff, you all? No? Okay. Okay. Same thing. Okay. Any other praises? It's getting cloudy. No, just yeah, we're thankful for all of the sunshine and the wind to dry things off. Yes.
From Zoom, Jim has a praise that his knee didn't give out. He had an issue this morning, but it didn't give out completely, so that's good. Okay. And then he has some prayer requests coming up later, but we'll stick with the praises for now.
Okay.
And then also, Adam is not here this morning, but he has a birthday coming up on Friday, same day as everybody else's graduation, so it's a big day.
A big day, okay, yeah. Any others? Well, then we'll come back to you for the prayer requests.
First, he's still asking for prayer. He has the fair coming up in several weeks that he's going to be selling his books, that goes well. And second, there's a rumor going around that there's going to be a gentleman's club opening across the street from him, and he prays that that is not true and doesn't come to fruition.
Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Okay.
Between and my family, there's some health issues that are going on between some people in our families. So just health for those in our families.
Okay. Okay.
On Zoom, Marcus turned 17 on Friday, Marcus Lair.
Okay. Another milestone. Congratulations. Any other praises, prayer requests, anything you want to lift up? Okay. Oh, yes. Good. Okay.
Just a praise to welcome Carol Lair back with us for the summer. We're glad to see you again.
Yeah, amen. Okay, well, let's lift our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being you, for being awesome, for being a part of our lives, for watching over every little thing that we do, everything that we encounter. We just thank you for being there. We thank you for giving us milestones, graduations, birthdays, anniversaries, whatever our milestones might be, certificates of achievement and so forth. We thank you for giving us the strength to endure, to reach those milestones. We thank you for all of the strength it required in whatever way that meant, physical or mental, just getting us to those points. Sometimes it's just being here, just being able to celebrate another year of life on your planet, on your creation. We thank you, as was mentioned, that you give us a good dry day today. We know that rain is important. We know that you have a reason for giving us so much rain, but we thank you for the break that we're getting. We thank you for the cool weather. We know hot weather is coming. You show your sovereignty by giving us 40 degrees one day and 80 the next, and it's yours, it's you, and none of us can control it. It helps us to remember who's in control. We thank you that you are already working on helping us to find someone to replace Bill when it comes to working with the table, helping to get food ready. We thank you for those people who are already helping to prep. We thank you for the servers. We thank you for the people that set up, others that tear down and clean up. It's such a group effort. It's a perfect little example of how the church is supposed to work, helping each other, using our abilities, the things that you have gifted us with, using them together for the common good. We just ask that that person that you might have in mind, or those people that you have in mind, would respond to your nudging, to respond to your calling in that way. We just pray for Jim. We thank you that whatever happened with his knee didn't turn out to be worse than it could be this morning. We thank you for watching over him. I pray that you're helping him out with getting the knee that he helps for the fair that's coming up. We also pray on his behalf and all of us, as he mentions that these rumors, that if there is something that's coming up, somebody trying to set up an establishment that would just not glorify you at all, we pray that you would just close the doors, that you would just stop that from happening. Just pray that sin would not set up shop there so close to him. We just pray for families that are dealing with health issues right now. We pray that especially families who might be involved with birthday parties and graduation parties, that you'll keep them healthy, keep the graduates healthy so that they can walk without any distractions this week or whenever that's to happen. And we're thankful that you just provide for us. We're thankful for the income that you give us. We've given a portion back. We ask you to accept it. It is our way of worshiping, another way of worshiping you. When we give you back some of our income, we recognize that it all came from you. And so we ask you to accept it and to bless it and use it to further your kingdom and your church. And we just ask a blessing on this church, this congregation, that you will continue to help us to grow, and that you will continue to bless us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to join me in singing our first hymn here, number 539.
Thank you.
All right, so we just sang a song that tells us to count our many blessings. So I'm going to start with an exercise. I want you to tell me something about yourself that you think is a blessing from God. Your children, okay. They are a blessing to you, but I'm looking for something about yourself. But no, that's a great answer. That's a great answer. I needed to qualify what I'm looking for. Yes, help. You like to? He thinks you think God blessed you with help, helping other people. Health. Oh, health. Excuse me. Okay, health. Visual art. Okay. Sense of humor. Making people laugh. Musical talent. Very good. What was another one? Faith, okay. Help, okay. Good, yeah, what else? Listening. Your bodies, okay. Very good. He helps you find the things you lost. Okay. So, all right. Anything else? Provide help for others. Okay. Okay. Very good. Okay. That's good. So there's lots of ways, we heard lots of ways, different ways that God has blessed us. And probably I could get you to even speak up, because probably I was worried that so many that felt like they were blessed with humility, that they weren't going to mention anything about themselves. I was going to have to ask you to, like, say something about the person beside you. And I would probably get lots of responses there too. But you heard a variety of different kinds of ways that we have been blessed by God. Lots of different gifts. Some of those might be spiritual gifts, and some of those might be natural gifts. So how do we tell the difference? How do we tell the difference between natural gifts and spiritual gifts? They obviously come from the same source, right? If we all agree on the basic assumption that our all-powerful God is the creator of all life and all matter, then it just stands to reason that our abilities must ultimately come from God. Even if we want to attribute our abilities to genetics or to the environment, nature, nurture, we still have to agree that those abilities came from the source of genetics and the source of environment, the God who created everything in the first place. So if everything comes from God, and everything is a gift from God, then how in the world are we supposed to know what is a natural talent and what is a spiritual gift? Now you might say, well, that's easy. We have a list of spiritual gifts in the Bible. If it's not on the list, then it's not a spiritual gift. Maybe, but let me challenge you a little bit there. You see, Paul wrote three letters to three different churches, and each letter had a different list of gifts. So, is it possible that there might be some spiritual gifts that weren't listed? If Paul had written another letter to another church, and he created another list of spiritual gifts, I don't think it's necessarily heresy to assume that he might have some more things on that list. God might gift you with something that we would define as a spiritual gift, and maybe it's not included in any of these lists that have already been provided. Just something to think about. So, what are the differences between natural gifts, our talents, and spiritual gifts? How would we be able to recognize a spiritual gift if we saw one? That's where Paul comes in, and that's where our text for this morning comes in. We're going to continue to read from 1 Corinthians. We're up to chapter 12. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts and hear from Paul about spiritual gifts, and then we'll come back to natural gifts and sort of summarize and wrap things up then. But let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we hear Paul writing, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Once again, the Corinthians have written to him about something they're very proud of, and they're not quite getting it right. They have also indicated to him that they're sort of proud of all these spiritual gifts that they have, but they're focusing on some of the high-profile spiritual gifts, those ones that were very, that bring a lot of attention to them, the gifts of speaking in tongues, of healing, of miracles, some of the higher-profile gifts. And they're also not just bragging about the ones that they have. They're basically telling other people that if you were a mature Christian, you'd have this gift as well. And that's just not the way it's supposed to work. And so Paul needs to kind of set things straight here. And he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. And it's interesting, just as a side note, there's three times Paul has indicated to a church that I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. The first one is back in Romans, where he talks about the plan, God's plan for Israel. The second one is here in 1 Corinthians, where he's talking about spiritual gifts. And then the third one is in 1 Thessalonians, where he's talking about the second coming. He doesn't want us to be uninformed. We feel like we're very informed, but unfortunately, those are three areas where there is so much, if not division, at least consternation about those three topics. Whether, you know, what is God's plan for Israel? Whether or not spiritual gifts still exist. There are some who say that they ended with the apostles and so forth. And then, of course, second coming. And we know how contentious that can be. So he doesn't want them to be uninformed. And part of that reason is because of where they came from. Verse 2 says, you know that when you were pagans. Now remember, these are most of the people in this church are converts. They're Gentile converts. So when you were pagans, Gentiles, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. He doesn't understand it, but somehow, I should have had something come along with me, but somehow he's saying, I don't understand how, but you were able to be influenced by this piece of wood, imagine it's wood, by this piece of wood that just sits there and can't even talk to you. Or this hunk of metal that doesn't say a thing. These mute idols, or these dumb idols. How were you influenced by a piece of wood that someone created and sits there and just looks at you, and it doesn't say a thing to you? As I was thinking about that, I was thinking, man, what would Paul say about Siri today? You know, or Alexis or whatever. Like, you got that piece of plastic sitting there and you say the right word and all of a sudden it starts talking to you. But that must be what these people were kind of going through. They imagined in some way that they were communicating with this piece of wood or this hunk of metal. And they were praying to these things and trying to make certain things happen by praying to this particular God or that particular God, and we're going to see how that's affected, how he responds to that in just a little bit. But he says he wants them to remember all of this. Remember how you used to be. Because unfortunately, their understanding of their pagan worship is affecting their new Christian worship, and they're misunderstanding how this works because they're still so heavily influenced by the way they would worship these idols and worship as pagans. So verse 3 says, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. You would not be able to say that if you were being led by the Spirit of God. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, somebody who's not led by the Holy Spirit could probably say the words, but they could not say it. They could not proclaim it. They could not declare it. So he's basically saying, just judge everything by whether or not it glorifies Jesus. He had told his disciples in the Gospel of John that when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And a little bit later he said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So he's saying that anything that comes from the Holy Spirit is only going to glorify Jesus in some way, glorify God. That's how you can test it. That's how you can know whether or not whatever you're talking about, whatever gift you're referring to, is it from the Spirit. So he goes on then, verse 4, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Keep in mind that back in their day, they had so many different gods, so many different spirits, if you will, that they would pray to in order to make something happen that they wanted. They had the god of this and the god of that. If you remember some of the any of the classes that you might have been in, we've talked about, for instance, when the bronze workers, anybody who was working with bronze, they belonged to a guild. And once a month, they would come together as the guild. They would come together. They would worship the god of bronze. And they'd have their meal. They'd have a worship. They would be praying to that particular god. And then if maybe, and I'm making this part up, but if there's like a god of basket weaving, they would get together once a month, and they would pray to their god. And I don't know, pottery, they would pray to their god. There were so many different gods that they would pray to. And yet even today, perhaps, there's some people who wear certain necklaces that might have a Saint Christopher or a Saint this or a Saint that, and the patron saint of this, the patron saint of that. And they were coming from a culture where there were different gods who provided them with different gifts. And he's pointing out to them that there are different kinds of gifts, but they all came from the same Spirit. The same Spirit distributes them. In the next verse 5, he says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So he summarized in verse 4 that there are all kinds of different gifts. Then he sort of breaks them up into two different types. There are gifts of service. These are the gifts of ministry, those gifts of help, service, and so forth. And then there's gifts of working, those ones that are more obvious, more visible, the gifts of miracles and speaking in tongues and healing and so forth. But he still indicates that they're all coming from the same source. He mentions three different people, and yet we know that they're all one. There are people who want to argue that the Trinity doesn't exist because you can't find that word in the Bible. And they're right, you can't find the word in the Bible, but you do find the concept. And right here's one example. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them, God the Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord, talking about God the Son, talking about Jesus. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work, God the Father. So working backwards, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. They together are the one source of all of your gifts. Then in verse 7 he says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit, the visibility of the Spirit, is given for the common good. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We want to sit on this verse for a little bit because there's something very important at the beginning and at the end. For the common good. I think you've heard me say before and remind you before that any spiritual gift that you have is not meant for your benefit. You cannot receive any spiritual gift that is for your benefit. It is meant to be used for someone else, for the common good. It's meant to be used for the rest of this congregation, or maybe it's meant to be used for your neighborhood, or maybe it's meant to be used for a group you belong to. In some way, your gift is meant for common good, not for selfish good. And then the first part of the verse helps us to recognize, it says, now to each one. So, does that mean that 50% of us have a spiritual gift? No. You can jump in here. Does that mean that 75% of us have a spiritual gift? Does it mean that 99% of us have a spiritual gift? Okay, no. Every single one of us, each one, has a gift that is to be used for the common good. And there might be some of you who say, well, I'm the exception. I'm sorry, I just don't have any gifts. I don't feel gifted at all. I've got ways that I can help you. You have a gift, I can guarantee it. And we can figure out what that gift is with the Lord's help. There's all sorts of ways to fill out papers, answer questions, whatever. It's not a hard thing. It's not harmful. You just have to spend a little time going through some tests and things that help us to recognize. I mean, we want to make sure that you're not holding out on us. And I hope you want to make sure that you're not holding out on us. Because what's the end of the sentence say? It's for the common good. And so if you're not using that gift, if you don't even know what gift you have, then we're not as commonly good as we could be, right? Each and every one of us has a gift, has at least one gift, and it's meant for the common good. So then in verse 8, he starts to list these different kinds of gifts that he wants to mention in this particular instance. And these seem to be the ones that they are probably talking about, maybe bragging about, and wishing that they had them and that other ones had them and so forth. So he starts to list them in verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. You're going to notice that he keeps repeating this about through the Spirit. So some people are going to have knowledge. They're going to be able to present knowledge coming from God. Another person is going to be able to take that knowledge and then tell you, well, what does that mean? This message of wisdom, helping us to understand, maybe giving us some ideas about how to use that knowledge. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts, plural, of healing by that one Spirit. Just keeps pounding in that idea that it's absolutely just one Spirit. He goes on in verse 10, listing a few more things. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And in this case, in this context, this is referring to being able to speak in a language that you don't know, that you haven't been trained in, but all of a sudden, the Spirit gives you the ability. If you started speaking in German or Swahili or something that you didn't study in school, something you have no idea, if the only German you know is Gesundheit, and you started speaking German fluently, we'd have a pretty good idea that it's a gift of the Spirit. But we would also know it for sure if suddenly somebody else in the congregation knew German well enough to understand and they could translate that for us. Now that's the context right here. I do believe that there is the other kind of speaking in tongues that's not understandable, but that's just when you and the Lord are talking. Because what he's talking about here, remember, is for the common good. So if you were just sitting here, and I'm not saying this disrespectfully, but if you were sitting here and it sounded like babble or gibberish, that's not helping us at all. That's not for the common good. But if somebody, as it says next, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues, that's also a gift of the Spirit. If someone's able to interpret what it is that you're saying, and none of us, the rest of us can't understand, well then that person, that interpreter, also received that as a gift from the Spirit. So you see all of these high profile, I say that the way they thought of it, as high profile kind of gifts that they're talking about, they're bragging about, again, probably saying, well, I'm obviously very mature in my faith because I received the gift of healing. And someday maybe you'll be able to have the gift of healing as well. As you grow in your faith, and that is not the way God intended for them to use those gifts. And so he finishes up in verse 11 by saying, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, reminding them you don't go to the God of this or the God of that or the God of there to come up with all these different gifts. These gifts are coming from one Spirit. They're the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one. That means everyone. Again, every one of you has a gift. And I'm going to remind you again as you leave. I'm going to congratulate you on your gift as you leave this morning, just to remind you that every single one of you has a gift. He distributes them, the Spirit distributes them to each one just as He determines. You're not going to be able to fill out an application and work hard to get one particular gift. You're going to have to take the gift that the Spirit gives you because He knows He's got some reason why He wants you to have that gift. You might not know it yet. It might not make any sense to you. But there's some reason He's equipping you with that particular gift. He's got something in mind. And so the Spirit distributes these gifts to each one just as He determines. So, those are spiritual gifts. How can we tell the difference then, as we said, between talents and gifts? Here's a few ways that we can recognize natural gifts, talents, as opposed to spiritual gifts. First of all, talents, while they're first given by God to someone, then those talents seem to sort of be inherited. They continue on through families. Talents are inherited where gifts are received. It might be the biggest difference between these two types of gifts. Natural talents, natural gifts, are abilities that you tend to inherit from your parents, and they're nurtured in the context of your family. We all know people who are talented who come from a long line of family members who share the same talent. Now, I thought about Vicky and I, for instance. I'm not bragging on the talent. I feel like my dad used to be able to sing pretty well. He was in the choir. I jumped into the choir. I started singing. I don't mind, you know, I enjoy singing. Turns out Vicky, you know, obviously she sings as well, sings well as well. Turns out she and I probably sang together long time ago before we even knew each other. We both were singing for our particular high schools, rival high schools. They came to Westminster, where I was, because we were a better school. And so we hosted this singing event where these other choirs would come, choruses would come from these other schools. And each one, the first one would do their performance, they'd get off the stage, the next school would come up, all within the county. And then at the very end, she and I sang together and didn't know it, because at the end, all the schools come together, and we would sing Handel's Messiah. We would sing the Hallelujah Chorus. Beautiful. That was a fun time. But anyhow, so we've got some singing ability. It turns out our kids, you know, they sort of have some musical ability as well. They're even more talented than I am. And chances are, if they have kids, you know, who knows? We know that you see these kinds of talents going on through families. Another example, a better example perhaps, you remember a few years back, if you ever watched football, one of the bigger names for Green Bay, the guy that would always run around with his gold hair flowing out of the back of his helmet, Clay Matthews, loved to sack quarterbacks and loved to, like I said, loved to run around and shake his head and have his hair fly around out of his helmet. But that Clay Matthews that we remembered is just one of three Clay Matthews that have played in the NFL. I think he's actually Clay Matthews the third. But his grandfather played for the 49ers in 1950. There was a Clay Matthews playing professional football in 1950. Then that man had two sons, another Clay Matthews and another young man, who both played professional football as well. And they both had two more who played professional football. So the point is, if anybody in that family, if they had another son or if there was a brother involved who didn't play football, decided to take up chess or something, you'd be tempted to say, well, I guess he just didn't get the Matthews gene, did he? You know, that's the kind of things that we say. Whenever our children are athletic or they're smart or they're cute, right? Everybody wants to know, so did you get your cuteness from your dad? Did you get your smarts from your mommy? You know, chances are, yes, some of it, a little bit of it got passed along. And that's the point. Natural talents, natural gifts are just that. They're natural. They can be attributed to the natural genetic material that exists inside of each of us, passed down from generation to generation. On the other hand, Spiritual gifts come directly from the Holy Spirit. We don't inherit any kind of spiritual gifts from our family members. Spiritual gifts come directly from the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit of God. And that's why they're called gifts in the first place. The very first verse, when he says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, and some translations will say concerning spiritual gifts, the word gifts isn't even really in there. And so some translations, it'll be italicized. It just says, now concerning the spiritual. But the point is, as he's talking through this about things that the Spirit gives you, I mean, if somebody gives you something and you receive it, it's called a gift. And so they've used that term gifts in here. But it talks about how we get these spiritual gifts. And again, at the end, all of them are distributed from the Holy Spirit just as he determines. You don't inherit spiritual gifts from your parents. You receive them from the Holy Spirit. The second way that you can know the difference is that talents are possessed by both the saved and the unsaved, but spiritual gifts are possessed only by the saved. Whether they're a believer or not, everybody has some kind of talent, but only believers have spiritual gifts. The Spirit of God resides in each and every believer. He has distributed a measure of faith to each one of us and an ability that goes way beyond any of our natural talents. Because the Spirit of God is the source of spiritual gifts, it's no surprise that people who have God's Spirit residing in them would have more than just natural talent. Believers also have gifts that have been described in those three different lists. Some of those include wisdom, discernment, mercy, evangelism, leadership, teaching. Now, some of these gifts sound a lot like natural talents. I mean, you probably know a non-Christian who is a talented leader or a talented teacher. So non-believers can be very talented in some of these areas without having been given a gift of the Spirit. But in addition to those gifts, there are definitely others on the list that seem specific to the lives of believers. Pastoral care, evangelism, giving. Believers have many natural talents, but they also are gifted by God. And so the third thing is that talents are developed and expected, but gifts are matured and surprising. Let's say you are a talented leader or a talented teacher. Let's say leader. You're a talented leader. You just have a natural ability to lead. And then you become a Christian. And if God decides to use you in some role of leadership and decides that you are going to get the spiritual gift of leadership, you're going to find that your talent is suddenly on steroids. You can develop your natural talents with hard work and perseverance. You can practice, you can train, you can achieve a certain level on your own. But when God gets involved, you might discover that your leadership skills are above and beyond anything you were ever capable of in the past. Talents are developed with hard work, but spiritual gifts are increased as we mature in our relationship with God. When we've been gifted by God to accomplish something, we should expect the unexpected. As we mature in our relationship with Him, He will surprise us by giving us gifts that are well beyond our natural talents. And then the fourth one is the fact that talents can be used selfishly, but spiritual gifts are used to serve God's purposes. The Bible clearly tells us that spiritual gifts are given to us for a specific reason and to help others and for the common good. We often find ourselves using our natural talents to serve our own selfish interests and desires. If you think about it, we mostly try to develop our talents in order to get a better job, to get paid better, to provide for our families, as we say. And I know that doesn't sound selfish, but you get the point. We're using them for ourselves. We find ways to do something and say, look at this, look how good I am. Look what I'm able to do. I know that I used to, as a kid, I would go out and I would stand outside with the basketball hoop until I could make 10 free throws in a row. And I would get excited because so many times I'd get to 7 or 8 and then boom, I'd miss, got to start all over again. And when I would get 10, I'd run inside. I want to tell my mom, I made 10 in a row. And she was not exactly the kind of person who found that to be all that exciting. You know, did you get your homework done? Okay, whatever, I'll go back out and do it again. But I was doing it, you know, I was getting excited about it in a selfish way. I couldn't use the ability to hit 10 free throws in a row for the common good. There wouldn't be any way I could do that for the common good. So we often find ourselves using our natural talents in some selfish way. But spiritual gifts have been given to us by God, again, for the common good and for the glory of God. They're given to us so that we can, in a way, give them back through our service as we serve His purpose of building the family of believers. And spiritual gifts are given to us so all of us can perform the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's why all of us are gifted in some way by God. We're not supposed to sit back and expect the council to do everything. We're not expected to sit back and expect all of our fellow workers at work to do everything. You're not expected to have the pastor do everything because you're going to be terribly disappointed. We all need to come together and use our gifts for the common good. Use the gifts that God has given every single one of us to make us commonly better. So natural talents, natural gifts, and spiritual gifts. Many gifts from one God. Natural talents are the result of our genetic inheritance and the training that we receive from our family environment. Talents are possessed by both believers and non-believers, and they can be used to serve God or to serve ourselves. But spiritual gifts are given to us by the Spirit of God once we have been saved. They blossom as we mature in faith, and they are used to glorify God as we serve others and help to build the family of God. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth we find in it. We thank you for the encouragement and the correction. Father, I pray that you will help us all recognize that every single one of us has a gift. I pray that you will make that known to even those one or two people that might be sitting here thinking that, nope, I'm way past all of that, or I just haven't developed one yet. He hasn't given me one yet. Help us to help them recognize that even they have a gift. And you want to use them. You want to use all of us. And so I pray that we as a church will use our gifts together for a common better. But we need your help, and we need to recognize that all these gifts are coming from you. Help us to be less selfish with our abilities and more generous with our spiritual gifts. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we ask God to make us a blessing, and let's sing about that as our final hymn, hymn number 494. So are you ready to be a blessing to somebody today?
Amen.
All right. As you go, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you peace. And may you be a blessing to someone today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.